Let me give you two choices and you think about which choice you would prefer. Sometime in the near future, would you rather win the lottery or would you rather end up paraplegic? Most of you probably don't feel you need a lot of time to make up your mind. This appears to be a no-brainer. You would rather win the lottery than be paraplegic. But consider this. Some interesting data was collected on these two groups of people, lottery winners and paraplegics. Surprisingly, it was discovered that 1 year after their significant event, both groups were equally happy with their lives. One event did not produce greater happiness, while the other, greater disappointment. No one, however, predicts or imagines that being the case. Nearly everyone is convinced that there is a clear and obvious preference. People want to win the lottery and not end up paraplegic. So how is it that we are unable to predict or even imagine that both groups will be equally happy? How come no one ever sees both groups ending up just as content as they have always been? It turns out we predict badly. That is, we all exaggerate the impact a significant event is going to have on us. We are convinced positive events are going to be better than they really are, and we think that negative events are going to be worse than they really are. We miscalculate true impact. We overestimate the consequences of significant events. And so we find ourselves in a particular situation and we realize that we have overestimated our jubilation or overestimated our fear, and we just start living our lives as we always have. That is, if we were already an unhappy person, the lottery doesn't make us happy. And if we were already a happy person, becoming paraplegic doesn't make us unhappy. The person we are on the inside always determines how we experience what happens to us on the outside. And for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been baptized and sealed with the Holy Spirit on the inside, we have an even greater resource than just a positive outlook. We have the presence and power of God in us, and so we are able to receive strength, wisdom, joy, peace, goodness, and so much more. The Lord puts such qualities in us and activates these attributes as we humbly walk with Him. What a blessing it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's consider a passage that highlights the importance of who we are on the inside and how God can greatly enhance each of us on the inside. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now look at verses 5 to 10. Just before this passage, the Apostle Paul told us that he was given an amazing revelation of heaven. That is, God took Paul into his glorious throne room, into the spirit world, allowing Paul to see paradise and to hear inexpressible things. Paul mentions this experience to gain credibility with the Corinthian Christians. Sadly, Paul needs to establish his leadership credentials with this church because some arrogant leaders in this church have been trying to diminish Paul's influence in this church, even though Paul is the founder of this church. And as Paul establishes his credibility, he wants to do so without bragging like the arrogant leaders are doing. And so this is a very tricky task. But what is so interesting is that Paul will tell us that because of this amazing look into heaven, The Lord countered that heavenly vision with a tormenting infliction from the devil himself. And you and I would probably think that Paul believed that his tour of heaven was far better than receiving torment from Satan. But surprisingly, that's not what Paul tells us. Follow as I read this very surprising passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. Paul writes, "I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Wow. I feel like I could just read that passage again and again, and we would all just be blessed each time. Let me highlight two ideas from this passage that help us to appreciate the importance of who we are on the inside. First, God may give us ongoing painful difficulties for a very good purpose. God may give us ongoing painful difficulties for a very good purpose. I am convinced that when most Christians pray, they pray for God's blessings. It seems to go without saying that what we want from God are the many good things He can provide. We want excellent health, solid finances, good friends, wonderful opportunities, and many other such things. And I highly doubt that it ever enters our minds to ask that we may suffer torment in order to receive the good stuff. We don't usually associate suffering, torment, as leading to God's good stuff. However, let's be clear. The Bible is filled with stories about people who endured great trials, or suffered considerable ongoing pain, or lived with devastating heartache that ultimately had significant meaning for their lives. In fact, I would argue that most people in the Bible who walked closely with God experienced ongoing difficulty in their life. And the ongoing difficulty proved to be meaningful, wonderfully transformative. I would even argue that each of these Bible characters was deeply appreciative of the painful ordeal. And yes, I said appreciative. They went through a painful ordeal and they were glad for the experience. Wow. But if you haven't found that in the Bible, you just haven't been reading your Bible. It is throughout the Scriptures. So let's not be surprised that God may give us painful difficulties for a very good purpose. God gave the Apostle Paul a very painful difficulty. He gave Paul this painful difficulty right after Paul received his amazing vision of heaven. In order to keep Paul from becoming conceited because of the great revelations he had received, Paul was given a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him. And we should never doubt that this thorn had a very good impact. Paul was truly a humble man. Consider how humble he is as he tells us about his trip to heaven. In verse 5, when he writes about this event, he won't even say, "I went to heaven," but will only speak of this trip to heaven as happening to a man. We know he is that man. But Paul will not draw any special attention to himself so that no one will think more of him than is warranted. He was not conceited. He was humble. One way God kept him humble was by giving him a thorn in his flesh. What was this thorn in the flesh? The word thorn communicates that it was something painful. And the fact that it was something in his flesh means that it was something physically painful. We don't know any specifics beyond this. All we know is that Paul suffered with some kind of ongoing physical pain. What is interesting is that it was given by God, but came into Paul's life through Satan. God gave the thorn and used Satan to deliver it. No doubt, Satan had evil intentions, but God used the thorn for good. And so even a satanic attack can have a good purpose. Wow. The thorn tormented Paul. It must have been something very painful and frustrating and perhaps even debilitating. It must have been really bad because Paul was a very strong person. In the course of his missionary work, he had endured a lot. He proved he was a man of fortitude. He was a strong person. Paul had been whipped with a leather strap, beaten with rods, and pelted with stones. He had been shipwrecked and spent an entire day and night in the open sea. How frightening. He had gone without food, without sleep, and without basic clothing. Paul was no wussy, wimpy cream puff. Whatever this thorn was, it was major. It tormented him. And it also transformed him. For the better. It tormented him, but it transformed him. Let me put it like this. Many years ago, a group of women gathered to study God's word together. A verse in the book of Malachi intrigued them. The verse described how God would work in the lives of his people. It read, "He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver." One lady promised to do some investigation as to what it meant for God to sit as a refiner. And so she visited the shop of a silversmith and asked about the refining process, specifically asking, "Do you sit while the work of refining is going on?" The silversmith responded, "Oh yes, I must sit with my eyes steadily fixed on the furnace, for if the time necessary for refining be exceeded in the slightest degree, the silver is sure to be injured." At once the woman saw the beauty and the comfort of the expression, "He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver." When God's people are in his furnace of refinement, the Lord sits nearby with his eyes steadily upon the process of refinement. His wisdom and love will guide the entire process toward a good outcome, and throughout the process, he will keep his watchful eye upon us. He knows the right timing of all things. As the woman was ready to leave the shop, the silversmith added this pertinent detail. He knew the refining process had to continue until the point when he could see his image reflected in the silver, giving this woman one more insight. The refining process continues in our lives until the image of Christ can be seen in us. I do want to add another thought. There is pain that is ongoing, and there is pain that can be healed. There is pain that is ongoing, and there is pain that can be healed. You and I must appreciate the difference. Ongoing pain will always be with us. We need God's grace to endure it. Ongoing pain will continue to keep us dependent on God, but it's going to always be there. On the other hand, pain that can be healed and should be healed, that's the kind of pain that we should seek to find healing for. For example, if someone has wounded us emotionally, a parent, a child, a friend, a coworker, or whomever, we can be healed. The healing process begins by forgiving the person, then letting go of any ill feelings that easily linger, and then embracing any important lessons learned, but ultimately, come to the final stage of moving on. Do not confuse a wound that we should heal from with a God-ordained trial that is ongoing. There is a difference. There is pain that is ongoing, and there is pain that should be healed. Let me give a second idea from this passage. A second idea that should help us to appreciate the importance of who we are on the inside. Our ongoing painful difficulties should keep us dependent on God and filled with His glorious and powerful presence. Our ongoing painful difficulties should keep us dependent on God and filled with His glorious and powerful presence. Look again at verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul writes, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Three times Paul pleaded with the Lord Jesus, asking him to remove this thorn. I easily imagine that Paul was always suffering from this ailment. It was a constant burden in his life. But I quite imagine that there were three specific occasions when the suffering was especially intense. It became so acute that Paul went into prayer, begging, pleading, "This time, God, will you please just take it away?" And when it became this intense and he pleaded with the Lord, begging God to remove it, the Lord came back with an answer, "I'm not going to remove it." But simply let Paul know that he would be given all the grace he needed to endure this painful illness. Please understand, it was not removed. It stayed with Paul his whole life. At some point, Paul stopped pleading, embraced the reality of the thorn, and recognized the blessing of the situation. The painful thorn would keep him humble and dependent on Christ's power. The illness that caused such physical pain and weakness became a conduit for the amazing, powerful grace of Jesus to become alive in him. And once Paul realized this, he wouldn't have it any other way. He truly preferred physical pain that led to the powerful grace of Christ at work in him. He would gladly embrace the pain that came if it meant that even greater grace would come into his life. Oh, how he longed for the grace of Jesus to be alive in him. What is so very interesting is that Paul describes Christ's power as resting upon him. The word rest describes God's Shekinah glory as it rested upon Israel in the Old Testament, protecting them and guiding them. And so Paul is letting us know that God's glorious, powerful presence can rest upon us as believers, that God's protection and guidance can come and dwell in us. This is the great resource that all Christians have. The Shekinah glory of God comes and specifically dwells inside of us, lives in us. And the favor of God becomes a part of who we are on the inside. That is the great resource you and I want to be aware of. Let me put it like this. During the Great Depression of the 1930s, there was a sheep rancher who wasn't able to make enough money to sustain life. He and his family were in a desperate situation, and as they faced the real possibility of losing all they had, he would walk his farm and just look and wonder, how can I reverse this dreadful situation? One day an oil company came to the area and convinced him that there might be oil on his land. They asked for permission to drill, and the rancher agreed, signing all the necessary papers. At 1,100 feet, the drillers struck a huge oil reserve. This first well produced 80,000 barrels of oil per day, but that was only the beginning. Many more wells came, some more than twice as productive as the first. Suddenly, the sheep rancher was wealthy beyond anything he could have imagined. And to think that for so many years, this man and his family lived in utter poverty, ignorant of the great resource lying just below their feet. As Christians, we have been given a greater resource than oil and money. We have been given a greater resource than oil and money. We have been given the powerful grace of the Lord Jesus, His divine favor. To have the very favor of God inside of us changes everything. We live with the divine favor of God in us. And this divine favor comes down from heaven, dwelling in us, protecting us, guiding us, giving us things such as joy, wisdom, insight, perseverance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. There is no resource greater than that. You can have every earthly resource and be absolutely miserable, but if you've got the resource of the Lord alive in you, you will never be miserable. You will find the power, the joy, the strength, the goodness, the wisdom, the power that God has for us in every situation. It is too bad when you and I waste time fantasizing about winning the lottery or finding a genie in a lamp or having the powers of a superhero. Such earthly resources are so limited. What we want are the resources of heaven, filling us, empowering us, and directing us. What we want is this glorious, powerful presence of God's grace alive in us. We cannot ignore this great resource. It is what we will always need most. Because what we are on the inside will always determine how we experience what happens to us on the outside. Know what God has given you. And enjoy that resource. It's the best that you and I can have. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your presence with us, both here as your people gathered, you move among us. But we especially remember that you live within us. Lord, for those who need wisdom today, may your Spirit speak wisdom to them. For those who need comfort and encouragement, bring comfort and encouragement, I pray. For those who are longing for peace, for joy, give them peace, give them joy. For those looking for guidance, provide the guidance. We are your people, your children. You live in us. We will not ignore you. We will cry out to you. Come, protect, lead, and guide. For your honor, we pray. Amen.